Hello everyone, Nexa here, along with my good friend Graytome, and
Hello,
we're
everyone.
doing a follow-up. Graytome and I, and say hi, Graytome.
Hello, everyone.
Graytome
This
and
is
I,
Graytome.
Yes, it is. Graytome and I actually did our very first podcast for Evolving RPG on October 18th, 2014, which is 2 years and some change. So now that our podcasts are actually getting a little bit popular, we thought we would come back and revisit what we discussed. And the title of that podcast, which is still on the Evolving RPG website, is Online Pen and Paper Gaming. So what I want to do is just summarize a little bit, and then we're just going to talk about what we talked about then and how things have changed since then. So when we first did the podcast, we talked about the products to do online gaming, which were 3D Virtual Tabletop, Inferno.net, and Ventrilo. And I believe at the time, and correct me if I'm wrong, Gray, at the time, Graytome ran a little small adventure that basically ran a one-shot where we were fighting kobolds in a tavern. Does that sound familiar?
Yeah, we did. We did a very brief adventure just to kind of test the waters with Inferno.net.
And that was D&D 5th edition encounter.
No, because remember, that would have been 3.5 or 4 back then.
No? Okay, radio edit. Oh, I'm sorry, podcast edit. If you go and look at the original podcast, it was we played a random D&D 5th edition. So Graytome is wrong.
Wow, I didn't think that was in. Oh, that was edition? Oh, man, I thought that was 4.
But, you know, I will cut him some slack because, quite frankly, that was over 2 years ago.
There you go.
But, yeah, so obviously a lot has changed since then. The main thing being is that those devices that we set off was, which was the 3D Virtual Tabletop, Inferno.net, yeah, and Ventrilo. We don't really use any of those. Actually, what we use and what Graytome is actually going to talk about is we now use Roll20.net and we use TeamSpeak. So actually, I'm going to turn the table over and let Graytome talk about Roll20.net.
Well, it's interesting because it really wasn't my idea to use it. It was another game that we started from another Dungeon Master that was running who had a lot of experience with Roll20, and when I was approached to join that game, wasn't running the game, I was joining that game, very quickly liked that format. Inferno was good. It had the virtual tabletop with the video channel, which did run into some challenges with people that didn't have, especially going back a couple of years, computers or tablets that had video cameras on them. And you know, going back 2 years ago, that was it, you know, that technology had quite become as commonplace as it is now. Even in the last couple of years, it's come a long way. And Roll20 does not have that video component to it.
Hold that thought. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry to interrupt you, but I just want to tell everyone who's listening that one of the things that happened is that we've actually been playing a steady role playing game for a little bit over a year. We started in maybe late 2015, and we've been playing consistently once a month for a year, and now Gray actually is having a group going once a month as well. So now we're actually playing, some of us are playing twice a month. And earlier, Graytome just said that he came in on the Roll20.net. It wasn't something he wanted to do, and I just want to let people know to put it all together is that Buck, who I did a podcast with, he was the one who actually got the ball rolling using Roll20.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it was Ray who, at the time of this podcast that we're doing now, it hasn't been published, but I interviewed him. He actually is the one who got us all on Roll20. So I just wanted to give everyone a little background information so you can take it away, Gray.
Oh, sure thing. Oh, yeah, no problem. Because the idea of a virtual tabletop was kind of intriguing, especially we had a group that was spread out over a number of states, actually. So there was no real practical way to get everybody together. And we like the idea of something along the lines of Inferno.net with a video component where we could all see each other. Now, World 20 does not offer that, at least not in its current version, with a video stream. Now, there are other ways you can accomplish that. And actually, I would have to double check. We're not using a video stream. I would probably have to double check that because I believe World 20 may actually have one in there. I'd have to check it. So I would really edit that and say, we're not using it. We're doing it strictly with TeamSpeak and using their virtual tabletop, and everything's done voice. We're not doing video.
I just have to say, jumping right on in that, is that I don't really see a need for the video. I mean, all of the players, they're my friends and everything, but I don't really need to see them while I'm playing the game. It does not detract or take away from the game whatsoever, in my opinion.
I have to agree with you, because it really doesn't have as much of an impact as some of us thought it was going to, or at least I thought it was going to initially, where we couldn't see each other. And, you know, the players that we have, they've got a wide range of computers and tablets and things like that. And some of them would have some difficulty in, okay, how do I get this running? Is it going to be able to run the virtual tabletop software and the video stream plus the audio at the same time? Which is probably why we're keying it down a little bit to that least common denominator where everybody can get in and play. But I don't see a huge detriment. I mean, like I said, I jumped into the original World 20 game a little later on. With mine, I haven't seen any issue with it. I'm actually running two games using it. Now, one game is a Curse of Strahd. That's all World 20. We're using macros, we're using the virtual tabletop. Everyone is connecting to the game using TeamSpeak. That's pretty much exclusively being played using Roll20. I have another group where we are meeting, but I like the Roll20 system so much, I'm actually using that, even though everyone is at the same table, I'm running the game with Roll20. And you know, I've got the players connected to it on various devices at the game table, and I'm using that to manage maps, miniatures, and also a great amount of rules referencing. As opposed to having to flip through a page, I can quickly do a lookup and get an answer or spell damage or something along those lines. So I really have become a true believer in it, and you know, I've really gotten into using that system in the virtual tabletop. Out beyond and in place of doing something with vinyl maps and dry erase markers and things like that, stuff that we used to do, but really got away from that and really enjoy using the virtual tabletop software now.
And I have to say, we're not getting paid from Roll20.net or anything.
Yeah.
But I have to say, it is a solid piece of software, and it really does help the game flow very well. I really highly recommend that you test it out and try it, because one of the things is that for the most part it's free. I believe you can pay to get some premium benefits.
You do, because when I was running the game for, I was using Roll20 for up almost a year now, without having paid for a subscription. I had signed up with a free account, and it's one of those things where the game master, the dungeon master, whoever's running the game, does subscribe. Now, I have recently subscribed for an account so that I can get some additional memory space to load maps, things like that. Also, when you do subscribe to it, you can offer your players. And it's important to note that it's whoever's running the game, whatever level of service you're paying for, your players get that service. So your players don't all have to subscribe. It's the dungeon master that's got to subscribe, the one running the game, over whichever genre it could be. It's not just, this isn't even a system that's exclusively Dungeons & Dragons. That just happens to be what I'm using it a lot for.
Right, and exactly just how he said, Gray actually is doing Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition, while Ray is actually doing Pathfinder. So yeah. There's so many other games that are available for the system as well. It's a really good system. I want to touch on briefly about TeamSpeak, why we went to TeamSpeak as opposed to Ventrilo. I was a big fan of Ventrilo. I think it's very good quality. And yeah, pretty much just it's very good quality. However, TeamSpeak is actually more easier for Buck to use. And Buck has issues with his eyesight. He is legally blind, but he says he's able to use TeamSpeak better, and not only is he able to use it, but he actually purchased the TeamSpeak server that he lets us use, which is what we use to create these podcasts now. Now, originally, our very first podcast was created with Ventrilo, but I'm a true believer of TeamSpeak too. It's good. It's a solid piece of software. I don't believe it's been updated for about maybe. Well, no, actually, I take that back. I just updated it today. So they are still actively updating the software.
Yeah, and I would add a caveat there too that I can't speak as much to TeamSpeak as you can, but in terms of role 20, I am relatively new. I mean, I've only been running games on that for a very short period of time, just about 2 months now, where I've actually been in the driver's seat actually running it. So I don't want to take it with a grain of salt. There's a feature that I'm not using right now that I may not be aware of, like video. Definitely going to check that out. So I don't want to say anything that there may be missing that I just am not using right now. I'm still digging into some of the more advanced features of Roll 20, which is something in that regards that it's nice because you can kind of get into it as deep as you want and still run an effective game. So just a little caveat I wanted to throw out there because I thought of that when you mentioned TeamSpeak with the updates and things like that. So.
And I definitely agree with that. Earlier, Gray was talking about macros, making macros. And you really can create all different types of macros that can do such things as like rolling for initiative or making an attack roll. So they have a whole community out there where they will show you how to make a macro. And then depending on what game you play, what information should include in that macro. So like I said, I do think Roll 20 is a good system, and as of right now, I'm not personally looking at any other system because it's the one that actually suit our needs, and we've been using it for well over a year now.
Exactly, and that is something that I could talk to. That there's that great community. There's also tons of who. When I was first getting ready to run the Curse of Strahd, I had several maps ready to go. How do I get these maps off my computer and uploaded to Roll 20? I was lost. I was trying to figure it out, and I was having problems. Great support from YouTube, from Roll 20, and many of the more common users. There's a lot of great resources out there to walk you through demos on how to use this system. And really, it's something where you can dig into it as deep as you want. Like I said, we don't really have any need right now for a video service. It may be there, it's just not something we're using.
I hear a
You know,
rattle in the background. Not that it's annoying, but I just want to know, what are you rattling?
I think that might be my table. I got to get in here and tighten this up a little bit. So, just a little side note for everybody listening. Do need to get some hardware in here and some extra screws to kind of tighten up the tables a little older. So that may be what you're hearing.
Actually, this is a segue into a funny story that I have that's semi on a tangent. But we were actually playing a Pathfinder game, and I believe we were in the forest, and we kept hearing meow, and it was Gray's cat. And someone said, "Can someone kill the cat, please, before it attacks us?" So as you can see, TeamSpeak picks up on everything. But it really is a good system.
Well, it is. Well, I remember we were playing Inferno, just kind of go back because you mentioned the video component. Well, we're sitting there and you're seeing your portrait displayed on video. Well, my cat decided, like, well, hey, I'm looking at this thing, my computer. I'm focused on it. I'm talking to it. I'm not paying attention to him. So he decides, okay, you know what? Something's wrong here. You're paying attention to something else other than me. So he decides to pop up on my lap. I'm like, okay, I'm used to that. Well, I realize on the screen, all of a sudden, this little cat head appears underneath my chin, looking at the screen, trying to figure out what is it that I'm so intrigued with. So that was kind of a funny moment where all of a sudden my cat came into and got into the game. So always use push to talk if you've got lots of cats, and especially if they're noisy.
But I guess I could safely say that Online pen and paper gaming is definitely alive and well because an article that was posted on Evolving RPG maybe a week or two ago is that now Dungeons and Dragons 5th edition is bringing out their own set of tools for online gaming.
They have, and Wizards of the Coast has been talking about that for a while, about doing that. And I think earlier on, I mean, that goes back, I believe, back when they released third edition, how many years ago? I mean, it's a number of years ago.
That was a long
And
time ago, and it
they did a
never
long
went
time ago.
anywhere
And some
either.
of the technology, not really, no, they never really came out with that. So, well, I think that some of that was the technological challenges at the time, or the technology to do that has come much farther. So it'd be interesting to see where that plays out, and ultimately. But I think pen and paper gaming it's interesting how you've taken something that used to be us sitting at a table with graph paper, telling stories. Everything was basically either in our head or we're literally tracing it out on sheets of graph paper, and that was it. Now it's moved into a realm where you still have that tabletop component. You have your character sheets, things like that, but a lot of it's migrated online where you can take people over a larger area without you having to be in the same place. So used to be the biggest challenge was, okay, where are we going to get everybody together? Oh, someone can't make it. Okay, I've got to travel, or I've got a long drive, and how late can I stay somewhere, or how early can we get started? These are all things. Now, with this being able to go virtual, you're getting the same feel for it. It's just, you can be in one state, I'm in another, and yet here we are on a virtual tabletop now, playing the same game we were playing years ago when we had to all be at the same table. So I
And
think it's interesting that it's evolved that way.
yeah, and that's a really good point too, because when we first were did this, when we did the very first po podcast online pen and paper gaming, I believe I was 50 miles away from Gray. Now I'm 600 miles away from him. I'm all the way on the East Coast, so it's definitely good that technology is enhancing gaming in this fashion.
Well, yeah, it's a hobby that I really believe a lot in. This is something I've really enjoyed. I mean, I've been doing this since I was in high school, and I've really enjoyed this over the years. You get busy, we've got jobs now, full time, it's just, it's not where we're, oh, after class, we all get together. Now it's, okay, we've got different work schedules, things like that, that we have to balance. And, back when we were first starting these tabletop games, we didn't have the video game systems and the online distractions that we have now that are much easier. Some of the online multiplayer games now, where it's all you log in and everything's created for you. I'm going to run quests and it's a very linear process. I'm going to go on a raid. I'm going to run a quest line. This is all structured for you. Whereas with tabletop gaming, these are the stories that we're either writing or you're running a module. But you're bringing that player and you're deciding where you're going to go. The person running the game is deciding what options are you're going to have to face, what challenges are you going to have to overcome. And it's going to be you deciding how you're going to interact with that world. And you can do anything that you want. So with tabletop gaming, moving into this virtual world, I see it as a good way to compete with other types of games that are interesting. I mean, I'm not knocking any of those. They all have a good place. It's just, this is always something that's been near and dear to me. And I am glad to see that it's kind of evolving into a new semi electronic version where, you still have your character, you're rolling, still the same thing, role playing, still the same type of feel to it. But now it's incorporated that virtual dimension. So now you can span those large distances.
It's sort of
And
like evolving RPG.
exactly. As if someone had thought that through and thought, like, hey, RPGs are evolving. No, absolutely.
I totally get it, and yeah, you're absolutely right. The fact is that tabletop role-playing games can be so open-ended that you can do so much stuff. I mean, are you gonna do the quest or are you going to just ride your horse off into the sunset? You have so many options as opposed to the linear. If you do A, then you go to B and you can't skip C. So I do think that RPGs do need to evolve a little bit, but at their core, which is what we love, they need to still keep that flexibility where you can actually have this open-ended world where the only limitation is your imagination and your DM's imagination.
No, absolutely. I really do agree. I think you really capture that in a nutshell, that it's that freedom to interpret how your character is going to behave, as opposed to, okay, I'm going to run over here and I have a certain list of spells or special abilities that I can use, and those are only used in certain ways. Here, I've got someone running the game, a game master, dungeon master, whatever it may be, depending on the game system that you're running. They're providing me with an environment. And various challenges, and now I, as the player, am going to respond to that. What would the character do? What do I want to do? What course of action do I think is going to be best to resolve whatever conflict or achieve a goal that I have in the game? And running games myself, it's always intriguing that the players come up with things that I don't realize, where I would write a NPC or a non-player character, someone, a basic character in the background, and all of a sudden, this character just some sort of dynamic occurs where it clicks with the players. And now that what was going to be a background character is now brought to the forefront. Now I've got to flesh that character out because the players have bonded with this character, or they've clicked with them, or they don't trust him, or they want to know more about that particular individual when it's, oh, I was just writing to fill in the background. This is just, this is the innkeeper
Ha.
in a way. What's that?
No, I was just saying ha.
Oh, yeah, exactly. So it's just now you've got to grow that character, write the background, and the whole adventure scheme or module or whatever it is that you're running can take on a whole new direction. And that's one of the things that are interesting about this and virtual tabletops and the ability to run, voice over distances or even video if you choose to do that. I mean, there are lots of good options to do that. YouTube's filled with channels where people are videoing their games and everyone's talking back and forth. If that's the medium that you want to go with, video really does help out with that. It's interesting. You don't lose anything. You gain from all this great digital technology without losing that core tabletop RPG feel.
And that actually brings up a good point. One of the things that I definitely like about Roll20 is that all the chat for the game is saved so that when you log back into the game, when you sign back in, you can scroll back and look at all the back chat. So if you want to refresh yourself, it had it. The other thing that I wanted to do was kind of shifting topics just ever so slightly. Well, shifting from the pros to the cons, the only bad thing I see about the online pen and paper gaming, and this is something that you just can't really overcome, is that I do miss the fact that I can't really hang out with my friends, that I'm so far away that after the gaming session, it used to be cool to go out and eat pizza or go out and hang out and do something and then game, so you do kind of, well, I miss that interaction, but at the core, to be able to play, that actually outweighs that con.
Oh yeah,
For
that's
me,
true.
anyway.
You do lose, you do lose a little bit of that camaraderie that you have when everybody came together at someone's house. I had several friends where there was the de facto house we all seemed to end up at on Friday night or Saturday night when we were going to game. We all kind of went here or there. There were a couple of people whose parents thankfully were understanding of, six or seven teenagers or young adults showing up and then all of a sudden staying up all nights and fighting dragons and battling supervillains and whatnot. You do lose something in it. I think to some extent that it gets outweighed by the fact that yes, you can still get together, you can have that gaming experience together, even over great distances. But it's not the same as being to get everyone together in one place and hang out. One other drawback to it, and this is a challenge that I have in a 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons game where I'm running my own story. It's not a module, kind of running my own thing, kind of came up with an idea and running the players through it. That particular group, while I'm using everything to roll 20, some of the players are not, they don't have a laptop or a up-to-date tablet or something along those lines that will run a virtual tabletop. So some of those players can feel a little bit left out. So I have to take extra steps as the one running the game to make sure that that player is able to interact just as much as everyone else who would have, you know, if I have an Android tablet or an iPad and I can see everything here very well, to make sure that that other player who may not have those devices can still get into the game. So it is something that you want to consider when you're looking at virtual tabletops is what is your player base going to have? Because ultimately it needs to make the game fun. If the technology gets in the way of having a good time, then maybe it's not a right fit for that particular group. Like I said, in that particular group, I'm using Roll20 primarily myself to keep track of maps, minis on the board, where player locations are. I need to make sure that that information gets relayed out to my various players so that everyone feels connected. Some of them can join in. Some people will have concern about having to create any account. You know, just not everyone's necessarily going to be game for, well, I got to sign up for this service. It's like, well, yeah, you know, you do, but it's free. I got to create an account and I'm not too sure I want to do that. And, you know, it's to some extent, it's personal preference. It's something that I'm all for. But again, I have to work with players that may not necessarily want to go that route, or they would look at a virtual tabletop and say, well, I've never used it before. Why am I going to do this now? And it's, hey, you know, check out these great features. Look at this. But you do want to weigh that when you're deciding on, is a virtual tabletop going to be good for my group? How are you going to incorporate it? And is it going to add to that overall experience? Is it going to be a positive or is it going to detract something? Because just doing it to do it may not be a good enough reason. It's got to be really something where, okay, the group is going to benefit from this and this is why. You know, and I feel that just from running it, just being able to put everything onto my tablet and have that my tablet behind my DM screen with my map and everything. Granted, wherever I go, I have to have an internet connection. That's something you got to consider. Where you're playing, do you have that connection? Now, more and more people have that, but it's not everywhere. But something to definitely consider when you're choosing, okay, if I'm going to use a virtual tabletop of the ones that are available, which one am I going to use? And is it going to work with my group? So,
well, For that, you that was a wide spectrum of things, but for that, I do think on one hand, the whole benefit of the online gaming is that it actually can bring people together that play and makes it more convenient, because I think, as you alluded to, or actually as you said earlier, is the fact that now we're all, well, a lot of us are much older and we have other obligations. And so it's long gone are the days of where I could do a midnight gaming session. You know, my wife would kill me. You know, I have responsibilities. I have to work. But something else that you said about technically inclined people and do they have the technology, that got me to thinking that maybe we should try to look at what would be kind of like a cost effective way to get someone what they need to actually play on Roll20. And so I think, you know, that's something that I'm going to take as a little challenge and try to develop something, because honestly and realistically, for everyone listening, generally most of your role-playing books, if you just buy one book, you're out $50. So oh, yeah. would it be a leap of faith, or would it be too much to say if you spend, I don't know, between $75 to $100 on technology that will let you play online, would a person be able to do that? Now, obviously, if the person has a job, income, more likely they will be able to, but I'm trying to just think of a price point, and I'm thinking that under $100, could I actually devise a system that a person can put together and then be able to play Roll 20. And so I'm going to take up that challenge. So you may hear another podcast down the line about whether or not I was able to do this, because I think as technology improves and advances, so does the cost of said technology, and it makes things easier. And then your final point that I just want to get to, like I said, you had a wide spectrum of things, is that the internet access, that too has become so crucial that I dare say everybody seems like they're connected. You don't get too many people who don't have an internet connection. It's so integrated into our lives that it's one of those things where I think for the most part, it's almost an expectation that you do have internet. Now, what I do understand is that not everyone has the best internet connection. But since, once again, since we're only using images and maps and talking on TeamSpeak and no longer, and well, we're not doing the video chat, I think the bandwidth needed in order to experience a good play of the game isn't as high as, say, someone who's like streaming tons and tons of YouTube videos and watching high definition videos. So I think one of the benefits is that most of this stuff has really been optimized for people with average bandwidth.
I think that'd be true, and in terms of that, if you're really looking for something with that, they've got a strong following. We've met them and talked to them at Gen Con. It's in the past. And one quick note on that: when you talk about a lower cost solution, 3D virtual tabletop is still very much around, and that is a particular. They do offer now the ability to have multiplayers online sharing a virtual tabletop. And their particular app does run on smartphones. Roll 20, from my experience with that, it doesn't work well. And they don't make any bones about it. They don't say that it's going to run on a smartphone. Can you get it to load on it? Yes. Is it going to work really well? Not really. It really depends on the phone. I have tried it with some groups to see if you can get on your phone and use it. But even at that level, a 3D virtual tabletop may be something you want to look at then. You'd still need a voice component that currently, at least on its mobile version, doesn't have any type of chat or any other feature built into it. It's simply a map that other players can log into and move miniatures around and kind of jump from scene to scene. But it could be an option for you depending on your play style. But technology's catching up and it's becoming more commonplace. And I imagine that's only going to continue as we go into years going forward, where that's just going to become second nature now. And bandwidth is going to become more and more readily available. Everything from a personal hotspot to having high-speed internet in a particular home or location, or even public access to high-speed internet. So, but things to consider, depending on your gaming group and what they want to use and where it's kind of at. So, but I'm really interested to see how this evolves over the coming years, because I've just seen in the last few years it's really started to pick up steam. It seems there's other virtual tabletops out there. Haven't had a chance to work with all of them. Some of them could be very good too. And I know. Just going onto YouTube and looking at virtual tabletops, there's other people using different types of software, and they're doing their thing and doing it well. So it's gonna be interesting to see how this continues to grow. It's pretty exciting for the hobby right now, running games and a virtual tabletop and kind of capturing that pen and pencil or paper and pencil experience on a computer screen.
And I think Great Tom just set us up for perhaps our next podcast to actually look at some of the other ones and
Yeah, definitely.
take
Check
a
out some
look
other
at them
sort of
and just
stuff.
see how they are. But I think we've pretty much covered just about everything that we want to have. So, Gray, do you have any final thoughts?
I think when you're making a decision like that, you really it's something you want to talk to your group about and kind of see what you want to do. Is it going to fit? And then by all means, dig into the software yourself. If there's like I said, we haven't used all of them. take a look around what's out there and find what works for your group. You know, it's ultimately going to be what's going to meld well with everyone's personality and what you're going to be comfortable using and what you get used to. So it's just, you know, there's what I use, what I like, and that's going to be different for you and other people in your group or yourself personally, what you want to use in terms of a virtual tabletop, if that's even going to be an option for you. But I encourage players to definitely look into it and to see what kind of options you have with it, because I think it can really bring a larger group like ours spread out over a long and you know, you don't lose much. Yeah, you're not there at the same table, but you know, I think the benefits really outweigh the costs in terms of virtual tabletops.
Well, and on that note, I want to thank everyone for listening to this podcast. I would like to thank Gray Tome for helping me with this discussion.
Oh, always glad to.
And I want you all to look forward to other collaborations that Gray Tome and I will have, because we don't plan on going away anytime soon. And so with that, we bid you farewell and thank you for listening. And hopefully, it won't be another 2 years before we do another podcast related to this one.
Worst case, check back with us in 2019, everyone. So,
bye, everyone.
Take care. Bye, everyone.